Here's what's coming up on today's show.
We always know we have to have cash on hand. You figure out how much you're comfortable with having and then make sure it is earning something.
It's time for the Smart Money Questions Podcast with Matt Hausman. This is the show that provides you with a sound financial education and helps you avoid financial pitfalls. Make sure you're asking the right questions by listening to the Smart Money Questions Podcast.
Hey everyone, how you doing? It's that time again. Matt Hausman here. Hope you guys are having a great April. Hard to believe that it's almost over, which means, what is it? The fastest 2 minutes in sports is coming up here in a couple weeks, and that is the Kentucky Derby. I have no idea who's running. I usually don't until the day before. But it's always a good time to watch the Derby. So, but listen, today I want to jump into something. I read this great article the other day on in the Wall Street Journal, and it talked about these are the steps to take that five to 10 years away from retirement that you want to be looking into. A lot of it's going to be financial stuff. Quite frankly, some of it's not. I'm going to throw some 2 cents out there with conversations I've had with clients over the course of the last couple years. A couple things in particular I think are pretty humorous. But I think this will be, because I get asked all the time. I met with a couple yesterday, and basically, it's the first time I've met them. They bring in everything, and the comment is, I'm going to retire in 6 months. And I want you to tell me right now, am I going to be okay? This article is talking about that's probably not the time to be looking at, am I going to be okay, when we're talking about 6 months away from retirement, from so many variables. But I'm going to go through what I recommend to people. Some of this stuff, quite frankly, I would tell you, it doesn't matter if you're 20 years away from retirement or 5 years. Things that you want to be looking at and considering, and actually taking action to these items prior to the date that you have elected on whenever that retirement date is going to be. I will tell you, some people I talk to, and the idea is, I don't know that I'm ever going to retire. And the one thing I would tell you is, what do you want your retirement to look like? I have clients that, quite frankly, are still working and they're in their 70s because they love it. They love what they do. The couple I met with yesterday, that's actually one of the things he said. I actually love what I am doing. So I'm not really looking. This was the husband. I'm not looking to retire. The wife is like, I wanted to retire 5 years ago. So just things that you want to be considering, and again, taking action to. So when that day comes, in whatever you want your retirement to look like. And by the way, it's a lot, quite frankly, retirement, in my opinion, the money gives you the options and the choices on whatever you want your retirement to look like. And we'll talk about that as well. But before we do that, we know that we always have to deal with those disclaimers. Please don't take any of the information or ideas or suggestions that I offer in today's show as direct advice for you. Please use it as information and education that you then can discuss with your advisor. Now, if you don't have an advisor, or you would like for us to be your advisor, I'm more than happy to have that conversation with you. And it's real simple. All you have to do is go to www.speakwithmatt.com. That's www.speakwithmatt.com. And my online scheduler is right there. You can go right in. You can schedule a 15 or 30 minute phone conversation. And quite frankly, at the end of that first call, we're going to have a good idea. Does it make sense to have a second conversation? So again, very low key, go right into the online scheduler. You don't even have to get on the phone with anyone to schedule this. So again, speakwithmatt.com, www.speakwithmatt.com, and schedule it there. So, all right, let's go ahead and get on to today's show. Okay, I love the saying that Mike Tyson used to say, and that was, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And there's another one. I'm going to retire and live off my savings. What I do on the second day, who knows? So when we think about the steps that we need to be looking at, I actually went back and the article actually said, these are the financial mistakes you want to make sure you don't make. And the biggest thing that I would tell you in as you get closer to retirement. And like I said, some of these things, it doesn't matter if you're 5 years away from retirement or 30 years away from retirement. There's a couple things that I think that we always need to be looking at and taking action to. First of all, every financial planner and advisor should be telling you, we always want to have cash on hand. And the other thing I didn't mention is that what can actually happen that if we haven't prepared for this, all of a sudden it is just like what Mike Tyson said, getting punched in the face, you know, getting laid off, let go, forced into early retirement. You ended up, I have a client I'm actually talking to today that was outsourced. And she was like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to be doing the same thing. Actually working for the same company, just not under their umbrella. I'm only going to have to work 28 hours a week, blah, 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 blah. And I get an email from her. Oh, my God, I can't stand where I'm working now. So you hate the job. You got to look for a new one. Family member needs your help due to various reasons, you know, health, what have you. Anytime these things can happen, if we're not prepared, it goes back to what Mike Tyson said. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So let's go through these real quick. First of all, we know that, and like I said, every advisor should be telling you this. You got to have cash on hand. I always tell clients, you need to decide what you're comfortable with. Most advisors are going to say, especially if we're in our working years and we're pretty confident in our job security and or our business, if we're self-employed or we own a business, 3-6 months. As I've said before, I've got a couple clients, 2 years of cash reserves, you know, whatever it is. And the biggest thing I would tell you, because I met with someone yesterday and she was a little aggravated. She wasn't aggravated at me. She was aggravated at her bank. We actually talked about this back in February when we met for our like our annual strategy meeting. And we were going over the amount of money that she has sitting in cash, and it wasn't earning anything. If we think about where rates have been for the course of the last over 2 years, if your money is still sitting in a cash position, whether it is at a bank and or a brokerage account, the couple I met with yesterday, they had money sitting in a cash account at a brokerage account and earning literally nothing. You have to take action again. That money should be sitting in a high interest savings account. In my opinion, need to be getting at least 3.75, if not over 4% in a high interest savings account. I don't care if it's, Capital One has it. American Express Bank has it. Ally has it. ALLY. That's where Maggie and I keep ours. You are the ones that have to be doing that. She walked into the bank and she actually said, what am I really earning on the money that is sitting here at this bank? I won't mention the bank by name. And the manager overheard what she said. And she goes, oh, I'm looking right now. And you were grandfathered into the type of account you have. I'm sorry, you're earning nothing. Let me change that. So again, you have to be the one to do that. I read this other article in the Wall Street Journal talking about how much money has went into these high interest savings and or CDs, over $2 trillion since mid-22. So we're talking about almost 2 years. That's $1 trillion a year has moved into these type of accounts. If yours is still sitting and earning nothing, you know what you can do? You can listen to a podcast anytime. Pause what I'm saying right now and call and find out where the money is, right? Now, the other thing is, and I was explaining to her, is that if you're out there and you did buy a CD, first of all, my recommendation is, I mean, unless you know, a five-year CD, a six-year CD, in my opinion, not locking your money up like that with, you know, and CDs many times have little liquidity, you know, she ended up getting a six-month CD. Still was paying close to 5%. The article talked about this gentleman that had an 11-month CD. I think he was earning around 5%, something like that. But when it renews, first of all, understand the bank is required to tell you when it's going to renew and what the new rate is. And most of the time, that new rate is going to bottom out at wherever it was before. It's your responsibility to make sure that when it renews at whatever the prevailing rate is. The article actually talked about, he looked his bank up, he got notified it was renewing. He just saw, oh yeah, it's going to renew here in the next like 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is. Pulled up his bank, oh, it's still paying. I think it was actually paying like 10% or 10 basis points more. He thought he was fine. Nope. Because he didn't take action, it renewed at the new rate, which was like nothing, right? As a matter of fact, when I think about the client yesterday, she goes, can we actually look and see and make sure that I'm earning what they said I was going to earn? So she pulled it up on her phone real quick, and we just kind of went through the transactions, and I said, yeah, this is what you were earning before, which was 19 cents a month. And then she was earning considerably more than that now that it had moved. But we know that we have to take action when those renewals happen. That's why most of the time, you know, these high interest savings account, I think right now at Ally Bank, I think they're paying us like 4.35 or 4.45, completely liquid. Now, we do get notified when that rate goes down, you know, but quite frankly, in my opinion, it's better to leave that money in a full liquid position, because it's not going to really move the needle if I'm getting paid 4.35 or 4.45 and I go get a 2-year CD that's paying me 5.1%. I mean, what's that really doing, right? So, again, we always know we have to have cash on hand. You figure out how much you're comfortable with having, and then make sure it is earning something. Hey, everyone. A little interruption. Matt Houseman here. If you would like to speak to me directly, make sure that you know that you can go right to my online calendar, speakwithmatt.com. Again, www.speakwithmatt.com. You can either schedule a conference call right there, a Zoom call, or if you'd like to come into the office, feel free to do that. You can also reach us directly at 610-719-3003. All right, everyone, back to the show. The other thing is, and again, I think this is any time, I don't care if you're 30 years away from retirement or five, and that is maximizing your retirement contributions to what your budget allows. And please hear me when I say this. All of your retirement money, in my opinion, should not be going in to the retirement plan at your employer. Now, if your employer offers a match, absolutely you want to go to that point. And if you can afford a little more, you might want to consider an after-tax traditional non-qualified investment account, many times called a brokerage account. If you qualify for an outside Roth IRA, you can look at that, because in my opinion, there isn't a reason to have all of your money tied up with your employer. First of all, there is investment restrictions with most qualified retirement plans. Unless your plan specifically has what's called a self-directed option, which means, let's just, like ours, has a self-directed option. Schwab is the self-direction, which means it goes into Schwab's basically a brokerage account that's attached to our company 401k, and then we can invest in anything that is on the Schwab platform, okay? But I think about my daughter. So I'm like 30, 40 years away from retirement. Invest in the 401k. You already heard last year in the interview, she's been investing in a traditional brokerage account, and now she also has a Roth IRA. I will tell you, this is kind of a funny story. So once again, doing her taxes this year. If you remember last year, she got to the end, we were doing taxes. Hey, Ash, you owe this amount of money. What do you mean I owe taxes? That's always an eye-opener for kids, isn't it? But then I said, hey, listen, if we do this, which is a contribution to an IRA, you're not going to have to pay Uncle Sam. So you can either pay Uncle Sam or you can invest in yourself. Now, again, all of her money isn't going pre-tax, but we took advantage of the tax code at that time. So now she has money in, again, the 401k, which has both a pre-tax and a Roth option. She has a traditional investment account that she can get in at any time. And now she also has an outside IRA, right? We had to do it again this year and she had to pay in more. I go, hon, that's a good problem, right? That means you're paying more on taxes. It means you're making more money, at least most of the time. It means that. The other thing I would tell you again, now this is probably closer to that 2 to 5, 6 years out from retirement, is understanding your Social Security options, especially if you are married. Are there spousal options that you can take advantage of? And if you have a pension opportunity at where you work, you want to make sure that you understand what the options are available to you. Have them do the estimate. Hopefully there's an online calculator where you can go in and you can kind of negotiate what you want those options to look like. And if yours has been frozen, so one of the people I met with yesterday, her pension that where she works was frozen, you know, numerous years ago, you want to understand what options are available there. And you don't want to be doing this 2 or 3 months away from retirement. You want to understand what those options are prior to that. The other thing I would tell you is taking on unnecessary debt. Notice I said unnecessary debt. I read this other article the other day, and it was talking about how people that are over the age of 60, they're carrying more home debt now than any time prior. And is that a bad thing? Well, if we consider, especially in the fact if they have refied or purchased, which we have numerous clients that have done that, when rates are at 2.25, 2.5, 3.25, is that bad debt? In my opinion, that's almost free money. Unnecessary debt is, you know, I'm going to go out and I just want to buy this new ride. And what are they charging me now? 7, 8, 9% for new car loans, unless you're getting a deal, right? That's unnecessary debt, credit card debt. And you want to look at, why do I have that unnecessary debt there, right? So unnecessary debt, we want to make sure that we don't have a lot of that as we're going into retirement. Again, unnecessary debt, I believe there is good debt and there is bad debt. And, you know, when you have, and actually they were talking about in that article where a lot of the baby boomers, they're not willing now to downsize. You know, they might still be, one of the articles talked about, there's so much home ownership with people over the age of 60 that are 3 bedrooms or more with 2 baths. Why? Because they might have that rate at 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5%. And then, you know, if they sell now at the high, they got to buy at the high. So they're staying put. Again, good debt and bad debt. Okay, this next one I believe is essential. And this is that you are still not investing all of your money as if you are 25 or 30. I'm not saying that you still have, in fact, I believe you should still have money, especially if you're still working and contributing. Part of that money needs to be going into an aggressive portfolio, part of it. But you don't want all of your money in that aggressive position, right? We can go in and we can talk about behavioral finance and, you know, risk tolerance, blah, blah, blah. But you want to make sure that you understand where your money is invested. And if you have different buckets, that's great. Understand the risk that's in each one. But all of your money, again, I believe should not be investing like you're 25 or 30. I can't tell you how many people I have met over the course of the last 15, 16, 17 years that when 2008, 9 happened, they were still investing that way. Imagine if you were planning on retiring in June of 2020, you know, when the market in March tanked, are you still retiring at that time? You're down 30, 35%. You know, so again, not all of your money as you're getting closer to retirement should be investing in an overall aggressive position, because we, you know, time doesn't stop. So it doesn't matter what's going on in the market. If your planned date of retirement, again, let's say it was June of 2020, are you still planning on doing it? Right? So again, making sure that we don't have our investments, like all of our investments, like we're still 25 or 30 years old. The next one, oh boy, here is one. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You know, because I do marriage and family counseling on that other podcast I do. But that is overspending on children and grandchildren. You guys can Google this. There are so many articles out there where parents are unknowingly sacrificing retirement because of overspending for kids and grandkids. Now, notice I said overspending. I don't mean the normal stuff, you know, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that you are overspending in that category, you better call me, because that means you probably are, okay? I can't tell you how, you know, again, you guys can Google it. There's a ton of articles out there where parents are unknowingly doing it. And unfortunately, we've had many that have walked into our office, and I've had to have that, you know, rubber meets the road conversation. Hey, listen, you know, this has got to stop, because let me show you, if it doesn't stop, this is where you're going to be. Okay. Again, marriage and family counseling. I do that other podcast. So you can check out it there. The other thing I would tell you to do, and this is so important, and in many ways, this has nothing to do with the financial aspect of retirement, and that is planning what you want your retirement to look like. What's the bucket list? What's the lifestyle? And I love this one. I had this the other day, and I can't tell you how many times I've had this. And that is, one of the spouses is retired, loving life. The other spouse has been working, and all, but now it's time for that other spouse to retire. And good night. Now they're both at home. This is called Togetherness City. Are we prepared for that? This is especially where you're married, where what do you guys want your retirement to look like collectively, together? And then what are we going to do, especially if you have been working in separate businesses or locations or what have you, and all of a sudden now you're together? I can remember the buddy of mine whose dad started the tax practice down in Newark. He used to talk about this all the time. Man, you are in Togetherness City. You better be prepared, right? And this is where I think it is essential that you look at, what do I want my retirement to do? You know, I met with somebody else yesterday, and I was explaining to her, it's time for you to go do whatever you want to do. And her comment back was, you know, I really need to take the time to sit down, and what do I want to do? And doing that prior to whatever that date is that you want to pull the retirement trigger, I think it's so important to already have an understanding as to what you want that retirement to be. And again, you can look at bucket list things. You can look at what you want your lifestyle to be. You know, I would recommend having that done before you actually go into whatever that retirement is that you're going to look at. You know, I get asked a lot, and I don't know that I could ever, you know, I'm just not the person that can sit on the beach every day or play golf every day. I just can't see myself not doing what I'm doing. But again, so the last thing I want to let everyone know, as you knew, you probably saw the videos in the last podcast. We have just signed a lease. We signed a lease last week. So we will be getting into our permanent space, hopefully late summer. More details to follow as we get closer to that move-in date. But we are extremely excited about where we're going to be. And so, as I said earlier, details to follow as we get closer to that date. But listen, everyone, if you have any questions or concerns or scenarios that you would want us to address on the show, please reach out to us, info@smartmoneyquestions.com or smartmoneyquestions.com. You can actually leave a message right there. If you would like to speak to me personally, you can always do that at speakwithmatt.com, www.speakwithmatt.com. Well, listen, the last thing I want to say, please remember, help your kids out after you're gone, and that is to get your estate documents together, make sure they're updated, beneficiaries on all of your financial assets. Coordinate your estate plan with your financial plan. Listen, everyone, take care. We'll talk soon.